As many of you will know, we're using this year, starting in February, to go through the story of the Bible, and we've been working our way through Genesis, and this morning we're focusing on that story from Genesis 27, which is really the story of a family, a very important family, which is a key family at the centre of the Bible's story. And as I was thinking about this family, I was just thinking about the famous families in our world today. We have this family in the Bible that's famous, but who's hitting the headlines today? And the first family, I guess, that came to my mind was Jade Goody and her family, and it's been very much in the public mind and in the headlines over the last few weeks. We've also got families like the royal family, our very own royal family, a very different family, but one which often hits the headlines and gets talked about in our society. And perhaps the Obama family is another one which is very much got the spotlight on it in the world today. Well, the family that we're thinking about in the Bible today is a very strange and peculiar family. It's not a showbiz family. It's not a family of great wealth or great attraction in many ways. It's a peculiar kind of family. Here we have a family that's divided against itself. And this chapter 27 gives us an insight into the family, warts and all. It's a very real picture. It's not like the kind of glossy newspaper magazine of a family that's got it all together, but it's a family, warts and all, expressed in the pages of the Bible. Let's take a moment to think about the different characters in the family that we've just heard about. There's Isaac, who's weak and elderly. He's on his deathbed in this story. And he's a man who's he's followed God. He's been open to God's guidance in his life. But on his deathbed, he seems to be showing favoritism to his different sons. And he wants to, it seems, set up a sense of rivalry that's going to be embedded, not just now, but in the generations to come. He's portrayed as a fairly weak and passive figure in the Bible in many ways. Then there's Rebecca, his wife, who's introduced to us in chapter 24, if you've been following the story. She was, it seemed, the perfect wife. She was attractive. She was willing to take a risk and leave her family and go and join a new family. She was prepared to travel out of a sense of conviction and guidance. And yet here she is with her husband on his deathbed. She is willing to set up this whole scenario of deceit and division amongst her family. And she wants to make a mockery of her husband in his old age. Then we have the two sons, Jacob and Esau. And I guess I could relate to this myself, having two boys. This is very much a human story of two brothers who know a lot about rivalry. Competitive spirit is very much there in the heart of this family. Jacob is willing to lie to his father. He's willing to go along with his mother's scheme, willing to cheat and deceive his brother in order to get his father's blessing. And yet, he's the one that God chooses to bless. It's from Jacob that the nation of Israel is to be descended from. Then there's Esau, who we have to feel sorry for in this story. He seems to be very unfairly treated, and we wonder why God allows Esau to be robbed of his birthright. And yet, earlier on in the story of Genesis, we see how Esau actually sold his birthright because he was coming in from the fields hungry and wanted a bowl of stew, and he sold his birthright for this bowl of food. It's a very strange and peculiar story, a difficult one to preach about, because this is not a family which has got very much to attract us to it. But I think that's where the beauty and the power of this story lies, because this is a family which is divided and is struggling, And yet it's a family that God lands his grace upon this family. God puts his hand upon this family in all its divisions and brokenness. And God has a plan and purpose for this very strange group of people that are gathered together: Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau. Without the hand of God on their lives, this family would be nothing, and you wonder if we would ever have heard of them. But God chose to do something in their life, in their history, in their family. God chose to do something in the midst of their brokenness and damaged relationships. God brought about something very special. Why don't you take a moment to think about your own family? Wonder how it compares with this family here in Genesis. When you look at your own family, do you see any signs of brokenness, any fragile relationships, any jealousy or rivalry? Well, take heart if you do, because these are the kind of families that when you read the story of the Bible, God seems to choose them, honor them, and work with them. The good news from Genesis is that we have a God who is in the business of transforming lives and human relationships. God doesn't leave Jacob where he is, and I do encourage you to pursue the rest of the story. Even if you're not doing the whole Bible reading scheme, take a look at Jacob and see what God does with him. This story about Jacob really is just the beginning. And Jacob leaves his home. He has to flee for fear of his life because his brother's anger and hatred is so strong. And God meets him in various ways in the coming years. He has an encounter with God, a spiritual experience of wrestling with God. God doesn't let him stay in his deceit and division with his brother, and God brings reconciliation and restoration to the family. God draws close to Jacob and presses in to him. It reminded me of the verses from the New Testament about God's love. Romans chapter 8. St. Paul writes these words many hundreds of years later. Paul says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the amazing reality that Paul discovered in his life as he reflected on his Jewish ancestry, on the story of the Old Testament, which we've been hearing today. God is faithful. God is with his people. Nothing can separate his people from his love. That's the kind of God we have at work amongst us. And as we gather today, thinking about the group life of St. John's, let's be encouraged that we don't have to be super spiritual to be part of this church. We don't have to be families that have it all together. In fact, we can find a place to share some of the problems, some of the challenges that we experience in life. We can go to a home group and talk about how to live out our Christian faith in the workplace, in the midst of families that might be facing financial hardship or divorce or death or sickness. God is faithfully present with us. And like Paul, we can be confident and know that nothing we experience will separate us from God's love. That seemed to be true for Jacob and for his family, despite the things they were going through. This week, I was walking down the street on the Old Dover Road, just around the corner, and I happened to have my dog collar on, so it's quite interesting. Sometimes you get some strange conversation, but this guy came up to me and he said to me, "Oh, are you the vicar?" I said, "Yes, I am. I'm guilty." And he started to talk to me about his passion for this community and for seeing community groups and organisations from different parts of the community coming together. And he was talking in a very impassioned way. I don't think he was a Christian, but he was talking about how the young people and the old people should mix. And he was talking about the kids from Blue Coat School and how what we could do to involve them and engage them in our community in a more positive way. And it was a really good conversation. But he was talking to me as if this was something would be something new to me, a new concept. And I just came away from that conversation thinking it was very interesting how people don't expect the church to be involved in those kind of activities. I think sometimes people look at the church and think of it as something institutional, hierarchical, and perhaps out of date. But when we look around us today and think about what church life is for us, it very much represents that kind of community engagement. The purpose of our groups is to help people cross those barriers which sometimes get erected in our society. We want older people to mix with younger people. We want people that have got wisdom over years to share that with those who are in need for whatever reason. We want the internationals group to be a place where strangers and foreigners can find a welcome in our country. We want the film club to be a place for people to share times of fun, times of relaxation together, as well as reflect on their experience of life. We want people to come together and have cups of coffee and find support and friendship. Cross-community work is what we're about as a church, building a community where we're committed to one another and prepared to invest in these relationships is a key part of our life together at St. John's. God has got a plan and a purpose for us as a church. He wants to take us forward. We may be aware of problems, of difficulties and obstacles in our own lives, but together God can build our community life. He can make us a blessing to others, just as he took hold of the family in Genesis and made them a blessing. Despite their frailty, he made them a blessing to the world, to the nations. God wants to make us a blessing in the community that he's placed us in. Let's take a moment to pray. Father God, we thank you for the great truth that nothing can separate us from your love. We thank you that you take hold of ordinary lives and you have plans and purposes for us. We pray that you take hold of us and encourage us afresh as we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.